I remember saying I would vote for a shoe over Donald Trump, and we got one.
I mean, I want you to think about it literally. Biden has worse ratings than Donald Trump does.
I know.
That's what's wild.
People don't see what he's doing, though. And he's trying to give power back to Congress, and he's ineffective doing it. And he's trying to be calm and moderate because he doesn't want the swing that we had from Obama to Trump. He thinks if he's calm and level-headed, the next Republican will be calm and level-headed because that's what people want. And whether he's right or wrong, he's trying to say, I don't have the power that you're telling me to, you know, I can't change climate change. The Supreme Court will block it because I can't extend beyond my authorities. But Congress can, and the Supreme Court is saying, hey, if you want this changed, vote people that'll make laws to change it. We can't do that. We interpret it. Everybody's saying, Congress, do your job. Do your job. And Mitch McConnell's like, yeah, no.
It is time now for something positive.
We might be headed to the promised land.
The promised land, speaking the truth, and finding our external liberty once we internally liberate ourselves.
The problem can only be solved when there is a kind of coalition of conscience.
Because that is how it works.
This is the beginning. It is not the finale. And that's why we're here. And that's why we rally.
We've got to be that creative minority.
Find a way to get in the way. I got in trouble. It was good trouble. It was necessary trouble.
Franklin, I know we've got to do something.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Public Access America. My name is Jason. His name is Jeffrey, and we get together once a week to talk about the week. I don't know. I'm in a real negative headspace, so I don't know. I counted on you. Everything's frustrating me, and it's just annoying that everybody sees it from the other side. You know.
Oh, in that case, what do you got for me?
Well, I have absolutely nothing. It seems like people are saying Republicans legislate on grievance. And I looked at the 1-6 trials, and I was like, the 1-6 hearings are really cool, really necessary to go forward. But all of the talk around it seems to be Trump, get Trump, get Trump. Are they going to get Trump? Are they going to get Trump? And I'm like, I thought we were making laws based on this. Like, I thought we were strengthening our government by doing this, and it just seems like it's a witch hunt, and that just left me thinking of this analogy of like a stagecoach with no wheels versus a time machine that only goes backwards. And Democrats seem to be like this horse-drawn stagecoach that kind of make progress, but then the Republicans just jump in their fucking backwards time machine and take us back to the 1950s, and it's like so frustrating, and nobody hears it, and I'm just so annoyed. People want a villain, and it seems like Trump was the villain, then Rogan was the villain, and now Ron DeSantis is the villain. The villain isn't any one person, it's the broken system that they're jumping into. Sorry.
I think, you know, there's a lot that you've nailed there. There's a few things that, you know, I'm going to go with the general public versus, you know, the people that are participating / not participating in the hearings themselves.
Yeah, the pundits, all right. The news, the 24 news that has
Not even talking about the pundits at this point, because, I mean, let's be real honest, that shit's old and it's repetitive and it's the same crap over and over. Here's what people need to understand about the 1-6 hearings. The 1-6 hearings are an effort to understand what happened, how it happened, why it happened, and make a set of recommendations on how to ensure it doesn't happen again.
Correct.
Because let's be real honest, you know, conservatives out there, if you're listening, you would not want Joe Biden and Kamala Harris deciding that they didn't lose an election and deciding to, you know, reject the certification of other states. It just isn't a thing that you want to have happen.
Right.
Because the reality is, and I wrote this as a post earlier this week. There's a difference between a very, you know, the difference between a conservative interpretation of the Constitution and a liberal interpretation of the Constitution. A conservative interpretation of the Constitution is what Mike Pence did. Now, people are going to say, you know, people are going to immediately go, you know, into the, you know, down the rabbit hole of conservatives, this, that, and the other, but stay with me for a second.
Mm-hmm.
The conservative interpretation of the Constitution goes back to something that is, if it doesn't expressly state what powers and authorities are given to the government, then the government cannot do those things. Right. So, for example, you know, in the other context, the government, you know, under the current, you know, I would say 6-3 split, when you see gun laws that are about to come down, the Constitution is going to say, you know, what they're going to say with the Constitution is that the right to keep and bear arms of citizens, for example, does not expressly state that they cannot keep and bear semi-automatics, does not expressly state that they can't have fully automatics, does not expressly state that they cannot have 30-round magazines or 100-round drums or things like that.
The word the word arms is taking a lot of heavy work there.
Yeah, essentially, you know, because everybody wants to go with, but when this was written, it's like, yes, when this was written, you know, people were manufacturing their own guns. Like, I want you to keep that in mind. So if you want to go with a truly conservative interpretation of the Constitution from the time that it was written, people were manufacturing their own firearms. And what the conservatives could flat out say is that if you learn how to manufacture your own machine guns, then you would be allowed to keep and bear arms, because that was what was done. And the liberals out there, I can already hear them, are screaming, going, no, that's not, no. And it's like, well, it does not expressly state those things. Now, there's a reason why we pass amendments to the Constitution, why we pass laws. We do it to expressly state what is not allowed. And where some of these things are falling short is that, you know, the Supreme Court ruled that in all of these cases that citizens had a right to do certain things because it wasn't expressly stated in the Constitution that they couldn't.
Right.
But it also wasn't expressly stated that they could either. And so that's where things get real fucking messy.
Uh-huh.
Now, going back to what happened with Pence, it was not expressly stated in the Constitution that the vice president had the authority to reject the certification or reject electors.
Right.
And that's and Pence used it in an entirely conservative look at the Constitution, because, you know, typically the vice president, you know, throughout the history of the country has never had much authority. In fact, up until early 1900s, the vice president really didn't do anything. You were just like on call in case the president croaked.
Dick Cheney didn't do anything. Like, I can't even remember Clinton's vice president. So, and George Bush I don't remember George Bush's vice president.
So it was, I want to say it was around the time of,
Gore. Sorry.
Yeah. I want to say it was around the time of Lyndon Johnson, if I remember right, where, you know, they actually started looking at giving the vice president more power, more responsibilities, I should say.
Uh-huh.
And what happened is that, you know, the vice president became the leader of the Senate, is what happened. So the vice president became the person that could cast tie-breaking votes. Now, all that to say, the Constitution and all the laws that currently exist, you know, using a very conservative interpretation, Pence saw that it did not give him authority to do anything.
Right. And everyone knew that.
Well, but here's the thing is that if you were to use an a liberal interpretation of the Constitution, and this is where I'm going to really piss off the conservatives out there, because it also didn't say that he couldn't. Yes, Pence probably could have decided not to certify. But the thing about the conservative interpretation, like if a truly conservative or textualist interpretation of the, you know, laws and Constitution, mm-hmm. is that unless express authority is given to you to do a certain thing, you cannot do that certain thing.
Right.
And so, of course, what ends up happening is, you know, Trump ends up going on screen screaming about how, well, if he couldn't do it, why are they trying, you know, why are the Dems and rhinos trying to pass all these laws? And the answer is that what they're trying to do, both Democrats and Republicans, mm-hmm. is sit down and actually state what the vice president can do and provide only that express authority.
Sure.
So that way there is no interpretation left up to the imagination, because that's the reality is that when you leave people to interpret laws, some people are going to say, well, it doesn't say that I can do that, so I'm not going to do that.
Right.
And there are other people that are going to say, well, it doesn't say I can't do that, so I'm going to. That's where you have to expressly define what it is you want. And mm-hmm. Republicans, you know, that have their heads on at least somewhat on straight are looking at this and going, yeah, we wouldn't want, you know, some extreme leftist,
that's right,
you know, Democrat and vice president to somehow decide that, you know, the election in Texas was illegitimate and decertify Texas's results.
Agreed.
And, you know, that right there would be enough to make any Democratic candidate a winner.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that once in a while, America has to update the user agreement to get rid of the vagaries that are involved. Yeah, that makes
absolutely
sense to me. Yeah,
absolutely.
But I want to say, like, Mike Pence wasn't the plan. The plan was just to delay till the next day, because that in and of itself would be illegitimate, because it was supposed to be on that day, right? So everything that was done really was just to throw sand in the gears. The gears were supposed to slow down to the point of the next day.
Yeah, there's that, but honestly, it was...
Well, then it would go to the Supreme Court. Is it legal to do this on the 7th instead of the 6th? And then that would have gone to the Supreme Court, and Donald Trump thought the Supreme Court would say, no, it isn't legal. We're going to have to throw it all back to the states to do it all over again. That was his dream scenario. Mike Pence was just like a cog in the wheel.
No, I disagree with that, because... even then, you still have context, and the Supreme Court would have said, look, the Capitol, you know, was shut down mm-hmm. because of a riot, and they sought to continue their duties.
Oh, I'm not saying Donald Trump was legally right. I'm just saying in his head, that's what he was hoping for, and that's what John Eastman was aiming for. Everyone said that none of this stuff was really legal, but if we tried it all at once, we could postpone it long enough.
The real answer to this is that Trump wasn't looking to postpone it for a day. Like, that could have been done very easily. But the real answer was that what Trump was truly looking for was, you know, Pence to outright reject electors and say, or to accept Trump's electors. The false electors that got sent.
That's
from
so weird,
like Georgia and Arizona.
Because Pence kept saying that I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. So why would Trump count on it? You know,
because I want you to pay attention to are the words that he uses, and what he uses consistently are the words loyal and disloyal,
mm-hmm.
loyal and disloyal to who or what,
right?
Loyal or disloyal to the party. I would argue that Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney are very much loyal to the party in terms of the way that Abraham Lincoln would have run it.
Agreed.
But that's not what Trump means.
Right. No, exactly.
Loyal or disloyal to Trump.
So Mike Pence said to Donald Trump, I'm not going to be loyal in this case. I'm not going to be loyal. And Donald Trump said, you better be, or I'll send a mob.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, part two of what the 1-6 hearings do. Now, the thing is that what people need to understand, is that Congress does have the authority to investigate certain things. They have the ability to dig in on anything that they need to. Mm-hmm. What they do not have the authority to do is prosecute,
right,
or create a criminal case. Which, what they do is they gather information and evidence, and they turn it over to the DOJ. Mm-hmm. Then is the body that can pursue any sort of criminal activity.
Correct. I like that.
So even though I would argue very much that what they have done is created the narrative for a criminal prosecution, the reality of this is that this is going to end up being referred to the DOJ.
It has, as of yesterday or the day before.
So, yeah. And they're going to be the ones that are going to determine whether or not there is enough evidence to charge.
Right. And it wasn't referred. I'm sorry. Everything was turned over to the DOJ after the last hearing. But I don't think they need to refer it. I think the DOJ already has it. You know,
they have to refer it, number one, because there has to be the transfer of custody of what's been found.
Okay.
And number two, you know, just because Congress refers something, that doesn't mean that the DOJ is going to look at it from any standpoint, right, other than, now this is where, if I were the Republicans, here's what I would do. I would be looking to talk to the Democrats and say, look, this isn't going to look good if your guy recommends prosecution of Trump.
Right.
Let's come together. Let's find someone like a Robert Mueller and have them go through this.
Sure.
And decide whether or not criminal action needs to take place. And that way you get, you know, let's say the top three Republicans and the top three Democrats in the Senate, and they're the ones that decide, you know, who's going to be the special prosecutor.
They have a gang of eight, right?
Yeah. And it would be wise of them, you know, with, you know, especially with McConnell's weight, because McConnell does not like Trump, and he's been very clear on that.
That's obvious.
Yeah, you know, but he does what Republicans do, is he says, you know, if he's the candidate, then I'm going to support the candidate.
Sure.
Even if I don't like the guy.
Whereas it's this Democrats, weird party thing.
Whereas Democrats, you know, they won't support, you know, anybody unless it's their candidate, and then they end up losing elections.
Right.
And so it's all sorts of fucked up. Mm-hmm. But with,
I remember saying I would vote for a shoe over Donald Trump, and we got one.
I mean, I want you to think about it. Literally, Biden has worse ratings than Donald Trump does.
I know. People don't, that's wild. People don't see what he's doing, though. And he's trying to give power back to Congress, and he's ineffective doing it. And he's trying to be calm and moderate because he doesn't want the swing that we had from Obama to Trump. He thinks if he's calm and level-headed, the next Republican will be calm and level-headed because that's what people want. And whether he's right or wrong, he's trying to say, I don't have the power that you're telling me to. You know, I can't change climate change. The Supreme Court will block it because I can't extend beyond my authorities. But Congress can. And the Supreme Court is saying, hey, if you want this changed, vote people that'll make laws to change it. We can't do that. We interpret it. Everybody's saying, Congress, do your job, do your job. And Mitch McConnell's like, yeah, no. And that irritates me. I'm not opposed to his policies per se. I'm opposed to his rhetoric and his
absolutely,
the way he goes about it.
Well, I think that's one of the more frustrating things about dealing with any sort of rhetoric, dealing with any sort of politician is that they promise you just long enough to get the vote, and then they do whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
So,
and they don't, they regulate themselves. They design their own rules. So if they don't like a change in rule, like full disclosure and debate on every bill, they'll never vote for it, which means we'll never have it.
Mm-hmm.
And every Republican senator is giving the power to Mitch McConnell to stop the progress. And I don't understand that. Why isn't Mitt Romney being like, this is bullshit, we need to address some of this stuff? You know, I don't get it.
Well, the reality is because what's happening is Mitt Romney seeing what's happening to Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney.
Yeah, you think so?
Absolutely.
Because he stood up against a lot of stuff and he's still there.
He stood up against a lot of different stuff. Like, let's remember, Mitt Romney, of all people, marched with Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. Mitt Romney sat there and listened. Mitt Romney voted to impeach Trump based on his actions.
Right, based on common sense and the facts.
Absolutely. Mitt Romney has time and again chose country over party.
Right.
And he has held true to what I would argue are his core beliefs. For better or for worse, you know, the thing about people like Kinzinger and Cheney and Romney, they are people who I wouldn't call them moderate Republicans.
No.
Because they voted consistently.
That's the word. They're consistent conservatives.
They are consistent conservatives. They voted consistently with Trump. They consistently endorse, you know, conservative ideology,
right,
and legal positions. The thing that they opposed was just Trump because they saw exactly the same things that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
The dude didn't give a shit about the institutions. The dude wanted power.
Right. I think about that movie King Ralph, where they nailed him for everything he did simply because he didn't know the job. Donald Trump didn't know the job and wanted to destroy things. So Mitt Romney wasn't saying Donald Trump sucks as a person. He's saying in this instance, he failed to do his job correctly.
Exactly.
And that's the difference. And people are like, so you hate Trump? No, I would hate a guy on the burger line that didn't know how to cook a burger. I would be mad at him. He would get written up if he got people sick. If you don't know how to do the job, you're going to get penalized when you do it wrong. And if you don't know how to do it right, you're going to do it wrong. That's the mm-hmm. issue with Donald Trump. Not that he's an asshole. He is.
Exactly. And that was the thing is like, you know, objectively, people have to understand the first 2 years of Trump's presidency was good business for America. Let's
right.
be real honest.
Mm-hmm.
Things were, you know, good business for America. The rights, the human rights sucked.
Agreed.
But all I can say is the first 2 years under Biden, the business has sucked and the human rights have sucked. So
fist bumping a guy that kills a journalist isn't a good look. I'll say that again.
Or having your wife refer to conservative Latino voters as breakfast taco Latinos. Like,
wow.
People need to understand that
exactly.
just because you don't use racial slurs mm-hmm. or don't scream build the wall, that doesn't make what was said by the First Lady any less fucking racist.
I agree with that. And that there's a big switch. There's a big switch in where country club Republicans, even in conservative areas like in Kansas, flipped to Biden. And
yeah.
there's this populist end on the Republicans that are picking up those Democratic voters that realize they're elites. We got to go with these people who are the populists. But neither one is a good choice. It's a stagecoach
right.
or a backwards time machine. Like,
right.
And so that because we need it all to work together. We can't have asshole Republicans doing nothing and Democrats trying to do everything. We can't have Republicans trying to eliminate Social Security and Democrats unable to do anything. We can't have it that way. We need a mix of everything. And people aren't seeing that. They think it's that side or that side. When the truth is it's the Constitution was people against the government. We didn't mm-hmm. want the government to creep. So now we're just letting politicians wedge us into things that say, oh, we have to creep. You have to let us in like a fucking vampire. You have to let us do this for your own good. Ha ha. Now we have the power. You know?
Right.
Like exactly. half the shit the government does isn't in the Constitution. The EPA mm-hmm. isn't in the Constitution. The Consumer mm-hmm. Protection Bureau isn't in the mm-hmm. Constitution. So it's the government scope. I mean, those are good things, by the way. I'm not saying mm-hmm. they're national parks. They're not in the Constitution. That's all America, you know?
Right. And so that's where, you know, you run into these issues of why do things keep getting, you know, constantly back and forth? Why do things, you know,
mm-hmm.
why are things considered law until they're not? you know, and that, and the real answer is that when politicians stopped working together, the courts started deciding on issues.
Right.
And when the courts started deciding on issues, it was only going to be a matter of time until it got legislated or
politicized.
I would say argued in a different light, that the court would ultimately change its ruling. They're one of the things that people don't, that they take for granted is that when it comes down to getting political change to stick, this is where this whole issue of the filibuster comes in. If you don't have enough people that are convinced that an idea or a law needs to be made and it needs to be defined for everybody's benefit, then all you end up doing is muscling through things that just get taken back when the next party comes into power.
But even back worse, and forth, that law can be used against one group and not another to benefit another. And that's what we see in Jim Crow laws. So you have to be really careful about the laws you make, and they have to be really thought out. You can't just Ron DeSantis shit against a wall, you know?
Exactly. And that's where things have gotten, you know, really fucking stupid in the last 30 years. Things that have been, you know, legislated and re-legislated and re-legislated, or you end up with things that have been ruled and re-ruled and re-ruled, you know. And that's the worst part about this is that, you know, because of the way that things have been ruled and re-ruled, you're now, like, I hate to say it, but I honestly wish that I would have been wrong when we had that conversation with Marco about what abortion rights is going to look like. I have yet to see where I'm wrong.
No, I agree. And it's still one of our most popular episodes.
And that's, and realistically, you know, this is why there were certain, you know, amendments made. It was because when you leave the states to interpret certain things, what ends up happening is you end up with a certain set of rules and laws that exist in one place, but not in another. But now you have this weird gotcha set of things. Like I said, you know, as much as I try to use humor to deal with the things that I think are bullshit or the things that I think are insane, you know, this is one of those things where I genuinely am concerned that in places where you have abortion laws and rules in place, they are genuinely going to start requiring pregnancy tests for people with uteruses to leave the state.
Right.
Because then they're going to restrict travel to those people so they can't go get an abortion.
I think abortion advocates' new agenda is going to be moving people into those states. But then, even then Absolutely. Suddenly there's a national abortion law, which is exactly what abortion opponents are suggesting. And the thing is like, they're saying you went too far, like, back it up. They want a national ban that starts at 15 weeks or 6 weeks. And I think that's so bullshit because there's no vagaries about pro-choice. If you're pro-choice, you're pro-choice. You can't back up and say, well, 6 weeks is okay. 15. So it's all political. It's not policy.
And that was one of the things that most people tended to forget in all of this was that, you know, our abortion terms were probably some of the most liberal out there in the world.
That's
up
fine.
up until this point, you know, because places like Germany, they've got, I want to say it was like a 15 week or something like that. You know, I forget what Canada's is. I want to say it's like 20 or something like
that. They're all different, but that's fine. If it's based on policy, look, we can keep a fetus alive at 15 weeks now. Okay, let's talk about that then. If you think it's life at 15 and you can do that, you know, and you can work in the rights of the mother and the child, so everything is cool, I'm fine with that. But just going, right. I want to catch a car, and then catching a car and going, oh, shit, people are having miscarriages and they're waiting to die before they can be treated, you know, like, that's gross to me. Like, how do you expect to dissolve Social Security when that's our credit rating? Right. I don't understand that. And how do you go for a Republican that wants to get rid of Social Security when you've paid your entire life into it? If you just paid $20 a week for your entire life, that's gone. That's gone. You don't get that at 65 or if you're suddenly disabled. That's gone. And people are voting for Republican. That scares the shit out of me. And Democrats seem like they just can't get out of their own way.
That's exactly what it is. And so now you end up with this issue, and it's going to be a very big issue, that if Democrats don't come together in all of these states to capture a significant majority of the House and the Senate,
right,
and legislate abortion, they will not.
Right.
And like I said, I went back and looked at the balance of power in the House and Senate, and the last time it could have been legislated was like 77.
Jimmy Carter, right. Yeah.
So the idea that, you know, they had this chance to legislate it. But even then, when you look at the 80s, for example, there was a Republican that I forget who it was, proposed a ban on abortion. And Joe Biden, back in the 80s, voted for that ban on abortion.
Of course.
You know, because that was the thing is that, you know, the reality is that Joe Biden probably still is anti-abortion. He's a Catholic.
Of course, he said that, but he's pro-rights.
Exactly, and that's the difference. Yeah. And so that is one of the biggest things that I think the religious sect is going to have to get out of the way of, and they won't.
Right.
You know, you've got people who are, you've got Congress people who are saying that they're sick and tired of this separation of church and state crap. And I'm like, trust me, you don't want to be sick and tired of that, because that's how you end up with monarchies and theocracies or weird religious dictatorships. And right. You don't want that. You really don't.
I totally agree. Yeah.
So,
It's so gross. I had a thought as you were talking, and I lost it because I was so absorbed in what you were saying. It's just what I've watched is the Republicans every 10, 20 years seem to find a candidate like Goldwater or McCarthy or Nixon who's like, it's them, and Trump, and it's them. And then they're constantly let down. The people listen to a Republican that says it's the black people that are the problem, and then they do nothing about it. And then people get frustrated at Republicans, and then Democrats come in, and all that frustration is like, well, then why don't you do something? And Democrats are like, yeah, we are. We're giving them freedom, so they're not an issue anymore. So we don't have to pay attention and regulate them and criminalize them all the time. Let's just let them be black. That's fine. And Republicans like Trump come in and go, it's those brown people now. It's those Asian people. You know what I mean? Like, now they're talking about inflation and recession at the same time, stagnation or something. And I'm like,
stagflation.
And so somebody was talking about some ways to reduce that. And one of those ways was the get rid of the tariffs so things cost less. And I was like, that seems so obvious. Why the fuck didn't Biden do that? You know?
Like one of my favorite arguments by somebody who, you know, I would say, you know, they're a broken clock, they're right twice a day. Ben Shapiro flat out said, and I will agree with him on this one, the thing about trade deficits is that it's bullshit in a lot of ways. Because, for example, you and I have a trade deficit with a grocery store.
Right, because I want something.
And I pay them for them.
Right.
You know, you're not showing up with your own thing and going, hey, look, I'll trade you this for this.
Right.
You know, you have a trade deficit with a grocery store, and it's no different when you're buying products from overseas. You have a trade deficit. Why? Because they have things that you need in order to further develop your economy.
Right.
You know, you're taking a lot of those raw materials or, you know, some processed materials, and you're turning them into finished goods that are then being sent overseas. Like, it's the idea of a trade deficit is entirely bullshit, you know,
right,
when you look at it. But we have this weird obsession of trade deficits where, you know, we're concerned about buying things from other economies, but not worried about it. It's like, well, here's the real issues. Like, the real issue shouldn't be why you're buying things from certain economies. It should be, what are you doing that is keeping you from breaking into a market or prohibiting you from entering a market.
Or creating a new market to create a balance. If all the raw materials are in China, it's cheaper to make it in China and ship it here if we don't have the materials here to do it, right? But then we also have goods and services that we can also sell them. That's what it is. We're not the manufacturer of the world and we don't have all the resources. And it's a real shame that the Middle East is so unstable because they're so mineral rich, you know?
Yeah.
And like South America, it's so mineral rich. If we could just invest in there, but we can't.
Africa is so mineral rich.
Yes. And they're coming online in a new way. Africa, mm-hmm. the Horn of Africa is coming on in a new way. I'm really excited for that.
So, you know, with some of these policies, they have straight up shot themselves in the foot over. Mm-hmm. And these tariffs. And that's what started slowing down Trump's presidency,
right?
Flat out, because he started imposing tariffs on fucking everybody. And it's like, no, this is not what you want to do. In fact, yes. This is very much the opposite of what you want to do. Now, if there are things that are illegally keeping you from entering a market, which, you know, there was some back and forth about that with Boeing and Airbus, you know, where the European Union subsidized a bunch of Airbus stuff and Boeing got, you know, a significant amount of subsidies from the US. Yeah. Okay. I get it. It's either, hey, let's agree that the subsidies should be the same mm-hmm. and, you know, that trade should be a thing.
Right.
Or, you know, everybody needs to not subsidize these agencies. And that's, you know, those costs are going to get passed on to whoever's trying to buy this stuff. And people go, that doesn't really help.
Right. And but everybody influences their own markets. You can't do anything in Russia unless you do it the Russian way. You know what I mean? You can't do anything
bribery
in China.
And...
Right. Well, yeah. So I just think that's also really interesting. We need to build back better. we need to make America great again.
And the problem is that, you know,
nobody's doing it.
How many job openings, how many current job openings are there and how many job seekers are there in the country right now?
I know unemployment is up to 259,000 because employers don't treat their employees right. Everybody wants a job, but nobody wants to keep a shit job. And employers are just shit jobs. It's slavery with extra steps. So I think unemployment is driven by working conditions more than the need for money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it looks like right about now,
again, because people are living on the credit you're looking, that they built.
You're looking at about 6 million, 6.5 million unemployed, and you're looking at about 11 million job openings.
Right.
That's where things sit right now.
Well, that makes sense. But if people aren't going to be at a job long enough to learn the job and grow in the company because the company sucks, then they're not going to take those other jobs that are out there. And if we don't educate our kids, nobody's going to know how to do this shit. You know, it's like somebody built this country and we're just living off of it. And we have mm-hmm. no idea how it works. We have no idea how the Hoover Dam works. There's a couple guys that know, but we would never as a country be able to just do something amazing like that again. We'll never make another space shuttle. You know what I mean? It's just so sad. We're not creating the people that could do that stuff.
Well, that's definitely part of it, you know. We've punted a lot of that to the private industry to do. And that's all based on, you know, the thing about the private industry is that to a certain extent, there is future development based on future needs. But most of it is about developing current needs. Mm-hmm. And currently, there is no need to go to the moon. Currently, there is no need to go to Mars. So they become pet projects.
Right. We're going to make a space force. What are you making a space force for? You know what I mean? We're not going to be out there trying to block Chinese lasers from hitting our satellites. That's just not the way it is, you know? And so it made me think of Joe Manchin, who was against mm-hmm. this raising taxes on the rich so that we could go green. You know what I mean? And Joe Manchin is a coal baron, right? He made his money from coal. And so green energy to him, he would rather have people working in a hole so that he can make money, as opposed to putting those people to work in factories making turbines, you know? And that really upset me. He's not trying to block things for inflation now, because people could start training for new jobs if he let this stuff go. It's a 10-year plan, and the first step of that is building trade schools and community colleges so people could learn how to do these new jobs. So a coal miner could take an online school at night to learn how to make a wind turbine. So his prehistoric job, when it goes out of business, he has somewhere else to go. But Joe Manchin's like, stay in that hole and dig my coal. And I think that's gross. And I don't think people are saying that right. I think Joe Manchin, the debate on it is, well, is he Republican? Is he Democrat? Is he conservative? No, he's selfish.
there's that. But also, too, one of the things that people have to keep in mind is that, unfortunately, currently, it is still cheaper to produce coal power than it is to produce solar power. Mm-hmm. And until you figure out a way to make significant investments so that it is cheaper to produce wind power, i.e. producing new turbines, producing new solar cells, producing new hydro, new thermal,
right,
producing new nuclear. until you make all of those things happen, you're just not going to see the demand for those energies that you want to see.
Well, that's a shame, because we're not taxing the rich so that they can create this stuff. And we're not taxing them. We're not getting anything for it. We're giving them in there by giving them less taxes. We're literally giving them the money to create this stuff. And they're like, not.
And that's where, I think it has to be, like we've talked about several times.
Yeah.
I think the difference is incentivizing them. You know, it's either get taxed or, you know, throw your money into this pool of potential things that are needed by the United States.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, if you don't have that incentive of, well, fuck you, I don't want to pay the government, so I'll throw a bunch of money at X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Do that.
I'll make fake losses. My business, as long as it's in the red, as long as I'm spending more than I'm making. Right?
I got it, Jason. I know. I know what you need to do. You need to create a Church of the Holy Wind Turbine. Ooh. And get a bunch of tax free donations.
Right.
To start up your own, you know, wind turbine business. There it is. You now are the Church of the Holy Wind Turbine. Make that happen.
Church of the Holy Wind Turbine. I kind of like that. Do I get to wear a wind turbine?
What? Praise be.
Praise be the wind turbine. I'm just wondering if I can wear a turbine.
You have to wear the propeller hat that the nerds wear. That's right. That's our religious wear.
Okay.
You what? Debbie's like, I want one.
We could all sit in church and just spin it with our thoughts, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm kind of tired of politics, you know? I can't
blame you.
There was what do you think? We haven't talked about Ukraine in a long time.
Yeah.
And now I just saw the Moldova prime minister on, and she's worried. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is kind of cool. Ukraine's back in the news.
So, well, why do you think Moldova is worried about it?
Well, because they're right next to Ukraine, and they have a separatist area of Russian soldiers that have been fighting the same war for, 80 years?
Pretty much.
And they're also, are they a European? I know they applied for the European Union. I know they're working towards it. I don't know if they are, in fact, in it.
No, they're not.
And so all of those things say, why wouldn't Russia just...
And they're not in NATO either. So, damn.
But they're in the UN, which is irrelevant. Let's get rid of NATO, the thing that, you know, prevents all the wars. And we'll just keep the, you know, United Nations, which does absolutely nothing.
Yep. Well, I mean, when you have, you know, one of the Security Council members be like, yeah, no, we're totally justified in attacking Ukraine.
Yeah. And then one of the NATO members and European Union members hosting the president of that country in Turkey, right?
Well, I mean, Turkey's always been kind of an interesting NATO member.
Yeah.
Turkey is doing what Turkey does best.
I agree. Turkey's never been anything other than Turkey.
Right. So to me, what they're doing doesn't surprise me in any way, shape, or form. The one that gets me is Hungary. Hungary is actually the one that concerns me at this point.
Yeah. That is so, that's so weird, socialist authoritarian, because they were moving towards socialist agendas with like free healthcare and job security and all that. And then Viktor Orban came in and he's an authoritarian and the single, and it's so weird that they're authoritarian yet they still have free healthcare and we don't, you know,
it's weird. It is weird,
yeah.
But I have no words on that one. Like no. That's because, you know, the fact that, I mean, realistically, you have to have avenues open for dialogue in order to try and get this shit to stop. I mean, that's the real answer.
Sure.
You know, dialogue is going to be the only thing that ends the war in Ukraine. Because I guarantee you, the moment that Ukraine turns the tide, if they have enough weapons, enough advanced weapons,
yeah,
and they start pushing the Russians back, Russia's going to panic, yep. And they're going to do some stupid shit.
Ukraine, I think it was the wife of the president was like, you know, George Floyd, everybody stood around and watched this guy kneel on George Floyd's neck until he died. That's what you all are doing to us. You're just watching Vladimir Putin kneel on our necks and you're recording it. And I kind of get that vibe, you know, but what are we supposed to do? We can't go in there. Somebody says that Russia is going to start petering out in a month. Like they're just going to run out of stuff.
So,
but they're getting $1 billion a day.
Yes and no. And the problem there's a few different problems. Number one is that the supply of HIMARS to Ukraine has absolutely screwed up some plans for the Russians.
Right.
They have, you know, HIMARS is very accurate, and HIMARS has really fucked up some major ammo depots for the Russians. Nice. And so logistics has always been a problem, you know, in this campaign since the beginning.
Right.
And with HIMARS, it's now making it worse. Nice. For the Russians. Number two, Ukraine lacks, say, two key fundamental things that they need to absolutely turn the tide against the Russians. They need tanks that are more advanced, number one, for the land battles, because you know, they're going toe-to-toe with the Russians with essentially the same, you know, armored infantry that the Russians have. They've, of course, you know, got their own upgrades and variants on some of this stuff,
right?
But
it's all realistically made, right?
But realistically, it's not different enough to turn the tide. The man pads, like the Javelin missile and Stinger missiles that we've supplied, have helped, you know, stop forward pushes, but that hasn't pushed them back. And in order to do that, you have to have heavy armor that's going to push the line, along with man pads that are going to stop any sort of attacks or counter offensives.
Right, with those longer range missiles you're talking about to soften the interior.
Number two, Ukraine's biggest problem right now is their lack of a navy.
Interesting.
Because where they're getting hit from are from ship-based missile systems currently.
Ah, I did not know that. I just thought it was coming from inside Russia.
I mean, there's some of that too, but with the ship-based missile systems, it's easier for them to hit port targets.
Right. And the ports are what they really want, that whole section.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, this is where you have number one, Poland is helping Ukraine build railways in order to help ship grain out into Polish ports.
Right.
But number two, if you don't have the naval assets to take on the Black Sea Navy, you're going to run into problems. And this is where what the Ukrainians need is one of two things. They either need, so there's a couple of options. Number one, you could try and supply them with Navy. Turkey has already said that, no, we're not going to be allowing any warships in, which leaves option number two. And that is something that I don't think most people have thought about, is the fact that there are missiles that are meant for HIMARS that go a very long distance,
mm-hmm.
go up to like 155 miles or something like that.
Wow.
143, or no, there's some that actually can go up to about 300 miles.
I remember the discussion because the U.S. was like, we don't want to give these to you because you might shoot into Russia. They can shoot so far.
Exactly. But if they can be given to them to target the Russian Navy, much like they, you know, did when they sunk the Moskva.
Right. With a Neptune that they made.
Yeah. You know, if they can have missiles that will sink the Russian Navy, that will help ease up some of the problems at the port, because then, you know, what Russia is going to have to use is a bunch of missile systems that are not as good, right, as their sea-based missile systems.
Agreed. So they are working on a green corridor, Russia and Ukraine, I think, with
Turkey. Yeah, they signed an agreement on it, and then Russia bombed the port of Odessa this morning.
Damn it, Russia. And that's why people don't like you, because you never live up to your word. Like,
it took less than 24 hours after signing the agreement, Russia bombed the port of Odessa.
So we went from politicians that couldn't keep their word to like dictators that they can't keep their word. The countries. You know what I mean? That's gross.
So I mean, but anybody who's surprised by this is a fucking idiot at this point, because Russia hasn't even been able to keep their promise on humanitarian corridors, let alone the idea that grain was going to be shipped out of a Ukrainian port. Yeah. Like, anybody who believed that that was going to last more than a week is a fucking fool.
So do you think they should be designated terrorists?
Yes.
Yes. Not that it'll change much.
No. I mean, from our perspective, it would. Because what that'll do is that will open up a bunch of new aid corridors for us to supply the Ukrainians with, I would say, advanced technologies, more advanced technologies than what they have currently. Hmm. I do believe that there is the potential that I want to say that they're looking at training the Ukrainians on the M1 Abrams tank.
Good. That's a badass tank, actually.
So there is very much a possibility that the Ukrainians will be getting more advanced tanks, because realistically, like, you know, that tank has gone up against most Soviet designs, and it straight up is a destroyer.
Yeah.
We know that the Javelin is capable of taking out the T-80 and the T-90.
Love that.
So it's, you know, and realistically, the only tank that might go toe-to-toe with it is the T-14 Armata. And what is it? The running joke is those tanks are only at parade readiness.
Ah, they're hollow on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so realistically,
Donald Trump never understood parade readiness, did he? He always thought these dictators had all of these weapons just ready to come out.
No, they were literally just ready to be shown. They didn't do shit.
Billy, I love it. Okay. And we never talked about Boris Johnson.
Oh, Boris totally fucked up.
Do you see him as a mini Trump? Do you see him as like, do you see any correlation between the two? I never really
did. No, Boris was actually intelligent.
I kind of thought so, right?
No, Boris Johnson is actually intelligent, like highly intelligent. His biggest problem was do as I say, not as I do.
He's more of a Bannon with a better demeanor. Not
even,
right?
No, I wouldn't even put him in the same category as Bannon.
Wow. Okay.
No.
I thought Bannon was smart. He's just working on a theory that's totally wrong, and he's pushing against it to verify it. Like,
yeah,
he's conducting an experiment, but he's adjusting the situation so he gets the outcome that he wants. And now he's in jail? No? I don't know. Did he get did he get sentenced?
I mean,
that's how fast we talked about Boris Johnson, because I don't give a fuck about him.
No, Bannon hasn't been sentenced yet, but that should be coming real soon. But yeah, he got convicted.
He got convicted with no defense. Yep.
Yeah. And that's just it. Is that, you know, I'm not surprised by that one.
Right. I watched some of the Steve Bannon thing on TV, on CNN, I think. And I was like, this is just stupid. The people that are following him want to hear what he's saying. You know, they just want to be mad. They want to be grieved. But I think people need to, Democrats and Republicans both need to stop governing through grievance. It's not working. You know, yes, you're getting all of us mad at you and you're getting our donations, but you're not accomplishing anything, you know?
Nope. Not at all,
man. So is there any, we're going to wrap up I got some great news for you this week, Jeffrey. I wasn't sure if I was going to do it or not. We came out with our Dan episode today. So we don't need a Sunday episode. And so this is our Thursday episode.
Fantastic.
And we don't need a Sunday episode if we're going to meet next Sunday. So
sounds great.
I figured it would be a nice half day. What do you think about that?
I like that idea. You know, I like
that too.
I think maybe Debbie and I will try and get the other posts put up on this door so that way we can get, you know, more of this trim done. And
are you still working on the floor? You did finish.
Well,
the floor?
Debbie has been busting their fucking ass at work, and so they come home, they're exhausted.
Yeah, I don't expect Debbie to do it.
Well, no, and it's been a team effort, you know, on some of this stuff.
Of course, but you don't have a chronic illness that causes random terrible pain.
Well, that
but you have a shoulder.
I've got a shoulder, and I also didn't have eye surgery, and I'm also not working, you know, on my feet. You know, at this point, it was like, I swear, 12, 13 hour days.
That is the problem. That's the problem with America, Jeffrey. People are working 12, 13 hour days to clean up their debt so they can use it in the time of inflation causing recession because they think we all have money, you know.
Right. So it's, you know, it's definitely been one of those things where it's like, I can appreciate, like, you know, Debbie's just been like fucking beat, you know, literally like, all right, let's watch something crash. And it's like, yeah, that's fair.
And they're doing the same thing for you. You know, they appreciate all the stuff you're doing. So it's really nice. And I appreciate you. I appreciate all of you. And so if I have an opportunity to take a break or give a break, then I'm so happy about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Plus, it'll be nice to just, you know, go pet the puppy because she's being also a bit crazy too.
I heard that. That's all right.
Well, you know, we got we finally have the kids home for a weekend, and they had COVID here a couple weeks ago. So
no way.
Yep.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's why we haven't heard from Jay the artist.
Well, yep. But no, everything, you know, everything recovered quite well. So everybody's all happy and healthy and ready to keep going and having all sorts of fun.
Nice. All right. Well, I love you. Have a great day. And I will talk to you next week.
Next week.
Yay.
To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you.
This is our moment.
This is our time. To those who seek peace and security, we support you.
Yes, we can.
And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we prove once more that the true strength of our nation comes not from the might of our arms or the scale of our wealth, but from the enduring power of our ideals, democracy, liberty, opportunity, and unyielding hope.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbow. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, they will beat you to your knees and kick you there permanently if you let it. You, nobody is going to hit as hard as life.
Ask not.
Yes, we can.
What your country can do for you.
I have a dream.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I, poor little children.
Yes, we can.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression.
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
That's how winning is done.
Welcome to Public Access America.
Yes, we can.
Sunday live streams on YouTube.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad.
On Twitter.
Apple
Podcasts. Stitcher. Smart Radio.
Public.
And Spotify.
Yes, we can.
Public Access America. History in the making. Making history in the making.